Like it should have been before. Test one, two, that's good?
Yeah.
Ron got here, I thought he was preaching. We have another preacher this morning. Hey, he's taking his down though. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and let's make our declaration. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
Honor
as
today.
This word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday, everyone. We have something to proclaim. There are basically six major religions in all the world. Major, and I'm talking about when we say Christianity is one of them. We love everybody as far as Christians. That could be Presbyterians, Methodists, Independents, Baptists, Catholics, you know, all that. And then there's other six major denominations or six major religions throughout the world. But there's only one religion that can say that their God has risen from the grave and is now seated next to the Father, my Lord. And that's Christianity. You know, I know in the world today, Christianity is probably, throughout the world, the most persecuted religion, if you want to say it that way, throughout the world. I mean, it is persecuted. We don't realize we live in America where we have freedom of religion, where we are free to worship our God. You know, this morning we got up and all of us could have went to whatever church we wanted to go to or not go to church because of the freedom that we have. And thank God for the freedom that our forefathers fought for to give us today. But also we have a God that fought for us to give us freedom to live a Christian life free from the entanglements of the world.
Amen.
Free from all entanglements of sin and evil in all the world. We know when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought in sin upon the earth. But when Christ died upon the earth, he paid the penalty for that sin. He paid the penalty for all sins of the past, present, and the future. And today we can now go to him. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Because of the price he paid. And let me tell you, it wasn't an easy price.
Amen.
It took the shedding of innocent blood to wipe sin away. Now that we, as children of the living God, we can go to the Father and we can ask for forgiveness. Amen, huh? When we mess up and do something or say something or do something, whatever, we can go to him. And it says to come boldly through the throne room of grace. That we have access as children of the living God. That we can go boldly before him. You know, the saying, Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. And that's true. We're not perfect. There was only one that was perfect throughout the world. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. That's why there was no doubt in the Godhead. When Jesus was living, there was no doubt because he had no sin that he would rise from the grave. You know, I know, you know, people think, like, will he rise from the grave? I mean, you know, there was no doubt in the Godhead that he would rise from the grave. Because you know what? There was no sin to keep him in the grave. Now, if they would have put any of us, we'd still be there. With the garments on us. That's why man cannot pay the penalty for sin. But But Jesus paid the price, people. My God. Paid the price for us. He gave his life. You know, yes, thank you, Jesus. Just those simple words. That's, you know, last week I talked about how Jesus rode upon the colt.
Yeah.
He had a donkey in the colt, and he rode into Jerusalem, and how they laid the garments down. They laid the palm trees and branches down. So his colt wouldn't get the hooves dirty. As king and majesty, and they rode him into Jerusalem. But after that, the religious leaders got upset with Jesus because he was taking their fame, their money, their prestige away from him. And they concocted a story that he was trying to be above anyone else. And so they did everything they could to bring him to a place where they could kill him. And finally they got it all straight and they brought him to the place where they finally had him. And he was carrying his own cross after they had flogged him and beat him. It's called a cat of nine tails, where it says that it would go into the skin, the back of our Savior, and rip it out. They took this cross and they made him carry it all the way up the hill of Golgotha, or the place of the skull, they would call it. And they got him there and they laid him upon that cross. And they, after he had the crown of thorns upon him, they nailed his hands and they nailed his feet. And they took it. And remember, he did it all for us. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How can Jesus do all that he did? Because of the Father's love towards humanity, in which Jesus had that love towards us. We love our children. We love our spouses, we love our grandchildren, and we love people in general. But we don't really know the true love of the Father towards his children. That he would lay down the life of his Son because he loves us so much. And he did not want us to be separated any longer from the Father. And so Jesus said, "I'll go and I'll pay the price for you, Father, that you can be reconciled with your children, that they can come boldly through the throne of grace and ask for things and ask for forgiveness because of what you have done for us." And they nailed him to the cross. And they took that cross and they put it in that hole. And we know they pierced his side. I know that's hard for us to go through because that's our Savior. And he's done so much for us. It's hard to, you know, when somebody comes against a family member of ours and we love them, we want to come against that other person. I mean, we want to take care of them in one way or the other. And so it's hard for us when we read the story, you read the account of our Lord and Savior, what he went through. It hurts us. I know it hurts me on the inside. It's like, oh, that he had to do that. But you have to understand, it says in Scripture, in Colossians, that he laid down his life for us. That he could have called 10,000s of angels to come and rescue him in a moment. But he stayed there because he knew that it would be his blood that would reconcile communion between us and the Father. And so he laid and he stayed there. It says that he was like a lamb to the slaughter. A lamb to the slaughter. But you know what? Resurrection is coming. Resurrection. If you would get ready in that video, we have a video I want to show you. Resurrection is coming.
Resurrection is coming. I'm just trying to teach.
See, we can look at his death, and we have to. Whenever you're ready, just let me know. You ready? Okay. This is a video that we want to show. You want to turn off the lights?
Thank you. He's alive.
He's alive. Amen. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Amen.
That old song says, God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead.
No,
he is alive. God's not dead.
No,
he is alive. Amen. It's an old song, but I tell you what, they had something precious with those old songs. They knew the Spirit of the Lord. They felt the Spirit of God. They knew how to get a hold of the Spirit of God, and God would move upon those churches like never before. They knew how to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God and not let go. Those old revivals, my Lord. Those old tent revivals. My Lord. Maybe they didn't have the AC and the heat and the nice chairs and all this stuff, but they had the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
They had the Spirit of the Lord. And people, we need to strive for the Spirit of God to be upon our hearts, upon our lives. He's alive, people. Don't ever believe the lie that he's dead. Don't ever believe the lie that Jesus doesn't care about you. Don't ever believe the lie that Jesus doesn't care about things in your heart and in your life. It says that he cares for us. Our God is a caring God that cares about every aspect of every part of our hearts and a part of our lives. He's alive and well. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You go to the store today, you say, Happy Resurrection Sunday is Jesus' resurrection. Is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior and what he has done at Calvary's cross. Praise God Almighty. He's alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father.
Yes, amen.
My God. It says that he took that blood and he brought it to the Father. And it says, here you go. Can you imagine the face? You might say, look, if Jesus wouldn't have brought his blood, what would have happened? The perfect sacrifice had to take place so that God would bless and move and live within his people. God had instituted the shedding of lambs and all those sacrifices to cover the sins of the people. Only Jesus died upon Calvary's cross. He didn't cover the sins of us. He didn't cover our sins of our past. He didn't cover the sins of the present. He didn't cover our sins of the future. But it eliminated it.
Amen.
Can you imagine? Jesus, because we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he remembers no more your sins or my sins. No more of the past. No more of the present and no more of the future. That as we go to him and we ask forgiveness, the power of Almighty God, it comes in and eliminates those things because of the shedding of innocent blood, perfect blood, our Savior and Lord. There was not one sin that Jesus ever committed upon the earth. Never. He never sinned. The Bible says, and I know, we're thinking, how was that possible? Number one, because he wasn't born of natural methods. He was born of supernatural methods of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have that sin nature on the inside of him. Oh, like we have. I said, well, what happens to that sin nature when we get saved? Well, God comes in and subdues that thing. And pushes it down. The blood of Jesus helps us to overcome these things that we need to overcome in our hearts and in our lives. Those things that easily entangle us. The Father said, when Jesus said, it was finished, it was finished. It is finished. And he only said it at Calvary's cross. Can you imagine? He didn't say it while he was carrying the cross. It's a good message. He didn't say it is finished when he was being flogged. He didn't say it is finished when they took that crown of thorns that were an inch and a half, 2 inches long, and forced it upon his head. He said it was finished when he was hanging on the cross.
Come on.
When his arms opened wide for all of us. For all of us. And he said, it is finished. And what he was saying is, it is finished for Job. Oh, my Lord. It is finished. And put your name in. That means everything that the devil has thrown at you from the time you were born to today, that as we go to God, God forgives us and gives us victory in every aspect and in every part of our lives and our lives. My God. Victory in the house.
Yes.
Hallelujah. To the King of Kings. Woo. Victory for God's people. When he said it was finished, it is finished. That means the fight was done. It says in scripture that he went after he died on that cross. He went to the portals of hell. And he preached. It doesn't say what he preached, but it says that he preached the gospel. Probably told him, I told you I would win. Victory. And he got all those people that were in paradise and brought them to heaven.
Come on.
And now that place is eliminated. We have Jesus Christ, who is the victor, who rose from the grave. He triumphed, as the scripture says, on that day for all humanity. So you don't have to live in the muddy grubs anymore. You don't have to live in a place where you feel defeated. You might say, well, it's hard with life. Yes, sometimes it is hard with life. It is. Life is hard at times. Let's face it. Sometimes we like to hit a few people, you know. Sometimes we like to hang a few, you know. Do whatever we want to do. But you know what? God comes in and gives us life. It says that, you know, the devil comes, John 10:10, the devil comes what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to give us life and to have it what? More abundantly. My Lord, you have life. And God says you can have it more abundantly. You can wake up in the morning and feel good. You can wake up in the morning and feel, hey, Lord, thank you that you restored my body for the last days, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you restored me, Lord God, that I can preach the gospel and share about Jesus Christ because of the resurrection power that lives on the inside of us.
Amen.
The scripture says that he has given us life to have it more abundantly because that resurrection life is living on the inside of us. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a resurrected God, and no other major religion can say it. Oh, they may try to say it, but it's not truth. It's a power. We can say it because it's truth.
Hallelujah.
The power of Almighty God lives in us. My Lord, you are a resurrected spirit on inside because of the resurrected power that lives inside of us from the Holy Spirit, because we've asked Christ to be our Lord and our Savior, and he's the one that died upon Calvary's cross. He's the one that gives us life. Praise God. Gives us life that we can walk around in victory. That doesn't mean we don't get knocked down sometimes. That doesn't mean we don't get knocked down to our knees sometimes. But we can get up and say, Lord, I'm looking to you. Because sometimes life gets a little hard. Diseases come. Death comes. Heartache comes. And it makes us fall to our knees. But that's okay. Just look up. Because it says your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord. Your redemption draweth nigh. The King of Kings is coming soon. The King of Kings. Can you imagine? He splits those eastern skies. The dead in Christ rise first, as the scripture says. And we which are alive and remaining, it says, shall be caught up together with him in the end. Then we shall forever be with him in eternity. Can you imagine? We take on those glorified bodies. Oh,
yes.
Lord. We don't have to worry about what we eat. We don't have to worry about how much we weigh, you know. We don't have to worry about our hair, you know. We don't have to worry about taking a bath. We don't have to worry about none of that stuff. All the doctors go out of business. All the beauticians go out of business. Yeah. Yeah. Cover it up, you know. We can make ourselves believe a certain thing. That's okay, though. We got to make sure we look good. You know, nothing wrong with that, ladies. They're a lot of money.
What?
No more taxes. Oh, Lord. Miss Gail, I'm sorry. Miss Gail, I'll put a, or a zero with a line through it.
No more.
No more cars. My Lord. You know, it says in the second coming that Jesus is coming and he's riding the white horse.
Yes.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Beautiful. And look, we're coming right behind them. Oh, yes. My Lord. Riding those horses. We might be Clydesdale, whatever it wants to be, but we're coming right behind our Lord and Savior as he comes. Praise God. Resurrection Sunday. I want you to be excited about it, people. We have something to be excited about.
Amen.
We've been born again. God lives in our hearts and lives. We serve a Savior that has died on the cross for us, that gave everything to us and didn't leave anything back. Let's give everything to him. Say, Lord, I will live for you from this day forward with everything I have, Lord God, from this day forward. I will not hold anything back. I'll give you all my money. I'll give you all of my time, everything. And let God be God inside of our hearts and lives.
Hallelujah.
Praise God Almighty. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Resurrected Savior. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. It's an amazing thing. Now, we're going to take communion in a minute. It says after the millennial, that 1,000-year reign and all that stuff, at the end of that, they're going to have a judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. That's when all unbelievers are judged. Do you know who they stand in front of? Not the Father. Jesus Christ. Him. Amazing. Because he is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And the Lord of Lords. Look, if it wasn't for him, probably most of us would be 6 feet under. Maybe two of us. God's mercy would be growing upon us. God's mercy. But I tell you what, he gives life. It's like, can you imagine we get up in the morning and we can go to him and say, Father, come to you through the precious name of Jesus because he paid the price. Lord, you see what I'm going to go through today at work. And start praying about that. And Lord, I pray for my family, Lord. Help my family. Protect them. That the Father takes those prayers because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And he takes them in. It doesn't go on deaf ears. When we pray, he hears us. Because we don't serve Buddha. We serve Almighty Father. That he hears our prayers and he attends to those prayers if it's according to his will. That's the mighty God we serve. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm so glad you're serving. My Lord, there's no other one like you that we can turn to. Praise God Almighty. If you would stand, please. I want to read some scripture to you before we take part in communion this morning.
Yes, that is the only scripture.
In 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 11. Talking about community. It says this, starting in verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Before we take part in communion, we have to do what the Scripture says. The Scripture says for us to examine our hearts. So what I'd like for you to do, examine your own heart. See if there's anything. You might say, "Well, Pastor, what do I do if there's something?" You say, "Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry." That's all we need. And the blood of Jesus wipes it away. So let's just take a minute and do that this morning. You may look this way. The Bible, Jesus said for us to take communion in remembrance of him. So as we take part in communion this morning, we're doing it to remember his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his soon coming return. That's what we're doing it for, to remember what he did for us. If you would, come to the center aisle and go back to your seat, and we'll take part in communion all together.
Way too long. 9 seconds before it starts.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You may eat the bread and drink the juice.
I taste so bad.
Thank you.
to the King. Come on. Your King is alive. The King is alive and well. And we shall shout it to the world. Our King is not dead. He's alive and well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before we close in prayer, Jelaine and I we hope you have a great day today. We hope you have a great Resurrection Sunday. Sometime during the day, if you have time, go in Scripture and read about the resurrection. And when you finish, I want you to say, Father, he didn't have to. Just read it if you can, or tomorrow, but if you can today, and just say, Father, thank you. Amen. We appreciate you, Jelaine and I. We thank God for you and love you, and we pray you have a great day today. We'll start with you.
I was just asking the pastor if we can pray. Marjorie, my wife, and her sister Linda that's next to her. Friday, her brother was working in the yard, and he gave up the ghost. He went to meet the Lord Friday, and this week they're going to bury him. But it is a time for mourning. This is a time for mourning, but it's also a time of celebration. Because we know he was born again and he was baptized. We know that. So we know where he is right now. And the reason we're celebrating today is, and that it is finished, Jesus made a way for us. So we know he is the door to heaven. And our brother, Wilbert, made that journey Friday. Now we're going to lay his body to rest until we're all, like Pastor said, the dead in Christ will rise first. But we know we're going to see him again. We know. So we're going to celebrate his life this week. And I'd love for all the ladies of the church to come lay hands on Lynn and Marjorie while I pray for her, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father. God, we come boldly to your throne this morning, Lord, and we lift up Marjorie and Linda and the rest of the Romero clan to you, Lord. All the friends and relatives that Wilbert had, Lord, we lift them all to you, Lord. When you went back to heaven, Lord, you went back and sat at the right hand of the Father, and you sent back the Comforter, Lord. You sent us the Comforter. So we're asking you, Father God, to tell the Comforter to come and comfort this family, Lord, today and the rest of this week, Lord. You gave us a time to mourn, Lord, and without you, we cannot mourn right, Lord. Without you, we could not have made it to heaven, Lord. We know where Wilbert is, Lord. And we're going to thank you for all the things you did, Lord. Touch all of the Romero family and friends, Lord, today. Give them the hope they need to continue. I lift up Marie to you today, Lord, to touch her, Lord. She's having a really hard time with this. We know you already sent the Comforter to her, Lord. We know that your passion is great. And we thank you for it this morning, Lord. And we pray this all in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Father, as we leave this building today, guide us. Keep a hedge of protection around each and every one of us today, Lord, that we can come back next week and glorify your Son again, Lord. Keep us in your word, Lord. Keep us all darkness away from us, Lord. Till we come back next week. And I pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. And y'all dismissed. Thank y'all.
Thank you.